The Real Gambler's Dilemma. You may be familiar with the gambler's dilemma in the context of your Abrahamic religion. In that context, it is just a call to believe in any superstition, just in case it turns out to be true. I mean, if it is true that not throwing salt over your left shoulder, when you spill any salt, will doom you to some nasty fate, then why take the risk? Just throw salt over your left shoulder, and avoid the possible fate someone claimed was attached to not doing this. They claim you cannot possibly know for sure that hell is not real, so why risk it? Better join their cult. I mean, what have you got to lose? And look at the risk you potentially might be taking. Of course, cult membership is not free. It is not all benefits. There are real costs involved. Like payments of tithes. And submission to the priests, they will say Yahwahs/gods/Allahs, arbitrary prescriptions and prescriptions. Rules about what you must do, and what you may not do. If that did not resonate with you, or you resent it, because you did decide to join the cult, just in case their hearsay was actually true, do not worry. What follows is a bit more down to earth. I put it to you that you should be asking this question in relation to what are effectively Holocaust denial laws in Australia, and literally so in Germany. And which the United Nations resolved to make international law, over 2 years ago. Just as they declared a pandemic, they have also declared the official Holocaust narrative to be historical fact, and declared that anyone who thinks otherwise is anti-Semitic. A criminal. Literally. Verbatim. Read the UN resolution yourself. It was of course sponsored by the Israeli and German UN representatives. This is an example of turning political persecution into legal prosecution. So your government can claim it is prosecuting criminals, rather than persecuting political opinions. Which they can then all agree is a bad thing. While actually doing it themselves. Under cover of legal weaseling. What is the connection between the gambler's dilemma and you passively standing by as your government persecutes people for not agreeing to their official narrative? To their official or effective Holocaust denial laws? Well, there are two possible ways to describe what is going on. Either the official Holocaust narrative is based on the best evidence-based science, criminal forensics, statistical forensics, and accumulated, verifiable, facts, and the most rigorous methods of historical enquiry, and thus true, and those people who claim otherwise, are simply in denial, as the UN and your government claim, or worse, fully in agreement with the facts, but motivated by hatred for all things Jewish to pretend they have discovered and exposed a conspiracy to deceive the public, and authorities, alike. Or these laws are the living, objective, undeniable, proof of Jewish power. Proof that some Jews have so much control over the mass media, governments, UN, WHO, World Bank, IMF, Hollywood, and thus public opinion and public policy, that they are able to orchestrate such a worldwide conspiracy. To fool the world into believing that almost 6 million Jews were murdered by Germans, during World War II, see footnote. So which of the two do you find more compelling so far? I am not making any claims, here, for either possibility. Just reminding you there are two possibilities. And when you accept one of them, you are taking a huge gamble. For if the first is true, what do you risk losing, by demanding an end to the political persecution of so-called Holocaust deniers? If the first possibility is true, and people are free to raise questions, and voice doubts, and present alternative narratives, and evidence, and compelling arguments, from scientific experts and historians and statisticians, and even modern crematorium operators, then what harm could this possibly do? Would any harm come to any Jews as a result? And if any harm came to anyone, as a result, do we not have laws to deal with that? The usual laws by which peaceful society is ensured. Do people go around murdering and beating up each other, and spraying nasty graffiti on each other's school buildings, because there are no specific laws saying do not do that to this particular group of people? Or do the usual laws apply to everyone equally? And is that not enough? To punish people for harming one another, no matter what their ideological motivations. But if the second possibility is true, and we take the risk it is not, what are the consequences? What if there really is such a conspiracy afoot? What would you have to lose? Have you read the Torah? The Old Testament? The Talmud? Have you paid attention to the alleged genocide being committed in Palestine, by Israeli Jews? Are you telling me that the very definition Jew is not a religious identification? Are these books not the official religious canon of the Jews? Are you telling me they do not represent what Jewishness means? That Jewishness is not a religious identity? How many Jews that you have ever met or seen are Semitic? Meaning of Levantine descent. Rather than the descendants of religious converts to Judaism. The basis of their Jewish identity. Have you listened to the Jewish rabbi on YouTube stating that Jews must genocide your nation? No. Can you afford to take the risk that maybe at least some Jews take him seriously, based on his study of the Torah? You do not need to be a rabbi to find repeated references to genocide, and the murder of babies, in the Torah. In Psalms. In the stories of Moses and Joshua. It is the origin story of Jews. Does any other world religion have such calls to genocide, and glorification, in verse, of dashing their little ones' heads against the stones, by the rivers of Babylon? Are you saying you would gamble that those key elements of the Jewish origin story play no role in Jewish thinking today? So what is that rabbi doing on YouTube? Why are Jews from all around the world insisting he be charged with incitement to genocide? In order to prevent him giving Jews around the world an unfair, unearned, bad reputation. Why are they not doing this? Why does YouTube allow him to continue his incitement and hate speech? Why is the Southern Poverty Law Center not at all interested in him? Why do the Jews I have written to about this, claim he is no one? As if he represents no one. Why is his hate speech legally protected? Would you be happy as a worker with no political rights? If you are lucky, your masters will be nice and kind. As long as you are a good worker, why should they be otherwise? What sort of farmer is malicious towards their cattle? But we are talking about the risk of the gamble, remember. What if he is a nasty, vicious, sadist? Remember, you would be completely at his or her mercy. Have you read the Bible? Do you recall how Moses treated even his own followers, when they failed to submit to his will? Do you recall what Moses demanded of his followers? The same that rabbi, today, on YouTube, demands of all Jews. Genocide. Do you recall what Joshua did? Have you read the songs in Psalms? By the rivers of Babylon. Which holy book of the Jews calls Jews to lend unto the nations, and never borrow, and in this way, you shall have dominion over them? Sure. There are many different translations of the Bible, and some will word that differently. But tell me that you cannot, if you try, discover the equivalent phrases in most, if not all, of them. So we face the real gambler's dilemma. I have made no claims as to the historical veracity of whatever you want to call the current official Holocaust narrative. It has changed constantly. So much that I may not be up to speed on the latest official iteration of it. What I am asking you to consider is, what do you have to lose from each possible reality? I, for one, see very clearly that no harm could possibly come to anyone by allowing freedom of expression and investigation when it comes to all questions of interest to the public. Laws already exist to cover any eventuality where someone is angered by the expressed opinion of one person or group to the point of violence, or even threats of violence of any kind. No benefit is provided by adding laws to coerce people to self-censor. They are themselves an act of state violence, and prevent the possibility of truly informed consent and thus representative democracy. They are in active opposition to the operation of representative democracy. Informed consent is the first victim of such laws. For how are the public to form their own opinions if they are denied access to all the information, facts, figures, arguments, and opinions? All the ways of looking at, and understanding, the historical past. I recognize the very real risk associated with the possibility that the second proposition is true. For if it is, then we are on the way to complete slavery. It is a no-brainer, in terms of gamblers' dilemmas. There is only one risky proposition. And that is staying the course. The people have never been allowed to participate in a referendum on the matter of Holocaust denial laws, and the interpretation of other laws to prosecute people for the same behaviors. In order for them to be able to give or withhold their informed consent, the prosecution of people for Holocaust denial would need to be suspended, and the state itself would need to ensure that the representatives of all the competing narratives had the resources required to make their case before the court of public opinion. The Nuremberg trials used torture to gain alleged confessions, including threats to starve the children and families of the accused to death. This is just one fact that can be proven. Stalin did not pay the trials any attention. He knew the verdict had been written long before the public show. I would like to add that the official Holocaust narrative was, after the war, in at least one sector, the British sector, actually a criminal offence. It was considered mendacious propaganda, and military police were ordered to arrest anyone committing the offence of spreading Holocaust lies. In the wider world, the official Holocaust narrative emerged long after the end of World War II. It was never a reason for Americans fighting in Europe, as Hollywood fiction like Saving Private Ryan suggested. And Schindler's List was a work of fiction. Grab a copy of the book it was based on, if you doubt me. Nothing I have said here is Holocaust denial. It is all factual. And completely sound, compelling, philosophical argument. Or a calculation of risk, if you like, for gamblers. I write this because so few people are aware of the dilemma they face when they go along with the current legal situation in Germany, Australia, and many other nations. I am the only person who is articulating the gambler's dilemma. And remember, we are not just gambling a week's paycheck on this. We are gambling our future freedoms and liberties and prosperity. And that of all our future offspring. I found the gambler's dilemma in the context of the Abrahamic religious dogmas about their God and their hell, merely make a case for any and every possible superstitious belief anyone has ever had. To sell your soul, just in case the threat your local terrorist makes turn out to be actionable and real, is absurd. For then you would have to join each and every cult whose leaders realized they too could exploit the gambler's dilemma for their own ends. But in the context I use it here, I find it quite apt. This is an example of garbage I have found truly valuable, in another context. I live from garbage. I get all my food, clothing, shoes, and toys, and cakes I give as presents to others, in the garbage. I found the gambler's dilemma in my mental garbage, and found a valuable use for it. I hope you benefit from the time it took me to attempt to articulate this compelling argument for you. Anyone who claims this is anti-Jewish has a very particular idea of what being Jewish means. What the whole business of Jewishness means. One that should give you pause. P.S. Actually, the official narrative as agreed upon at what Stalin referred to as the Nuremberg show trials, officially convicted Germans of murdering Jews by feeding them live to wild tigers and bears, in the back of mobile gas vans, through electrocut iron in cages with electrified floors, and gas chambers, and that their skin was used to make lampshades, and their body fat was used to make soap. Check the facts that the Nuremberg show trials established as historical fact. Then consider how many of these facts have since been admitted to be lies. Then consider how the official death numbers at Auschwitz in Poland have been repeatedly revised downward to the tune of millions, since 1945. And how it is recorded at the memorial to the murdered Jews in Berlin, that the officials in Israel only claim to have the names of almost 3 million Jews. This would include, as under the official COVID deaths, Jews who died of any causes, during the time period claimed for their Holocaust.